Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As we heard our gospel text, at first glance it might seem as if Jesus is saying, take a beating. If someone sues you, just give them everything. Allow people to take advantage of you, and the first time you see a vagrant on the street corner with his cardboard sign, you better empty your wallet. But the truth is that there's greater meaning behind these four examples that Jesus shares with us in the Sermon on the Mount. So what does Jesus mean when he says, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also? Is Jesus forbidding us from protecting ourselves? Does he desire us all to be pacifists? If someone attacks us physically, should we just lie there beaten and bloody and just get the nonsense kicked out of us? Certainly not. For Jesus desires to protect us both physically and to protect our lives. In this section, Jesus is using what's called hyperbole. That means he's exaggerating to prove a point. In fact, he had even done this a few verses prior. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Well, Jesus doesn't want his people to walk around without their appendages or without their eyes. That's nonsense. He's using hyperbole. He's exaggerating to prove a point. And so with the hand and with the eye, he's proving his point that sin is a big deal. And here, when we talk about being slapped on the right and left cheek, he's telling us something different. He's talking about personal vengeance. The Lord doesn't want his people to respond to violence with more violence. After all, if somebody comes and slaps me in the face, or if they punch me, or you know, a haymaker right to the jaw, my first response is to do exactly the same back to them. You hit me, I want to hit you back. And that's what the Old Testament allowed for. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? You hit me, I hit you. But Jesus says, no. My people ought to act differently. After all, if you hit me in the face and I hit you in the face, we're both going to be bloody and messed up. And that doesn't make anybody happy. And so Jesus says, be more generous. Be more willing to forgive than the rest of the world is. After all, Jesus has been generous towards us, towards you. For think about what happened to Jesus. As Jesus reaches the end of his life, as he's put on trial, the court of the Sanhedrin, they struck him. They beat him. And instead of retaliating, instead of punching them back or, you know, striking them back, Jesus simply said, if I've done something wrong, tell me what it is. But if I haven't, why do you hit me? You see, Jesus, he endures the physical violence without retaliation so that you can be forgiven for all those times that you sought retaliation for your own personal vengeance, and so you are. You are forgiven because that is the generosity of Jesus. Next, Jesus says, you know, if somebody takes you to court and wants your tunic, let them have your cloak as well. Well, what does Jesus mean? Certainly, he doesn't mean that if somebody takes you to court, he might say, don't worry about doing the court thing. I'm just going to give you my entire life savings. Right? No, everybody has sort of this legal right to stand up for themselves in court. But Jesus, again, is using hyperbole. If someone has such a grievance against you, do whatever you can to reconcile the relationship without going to court. You know, if it's a dispute over $20, why are you going to drag it into a court case? Just go ahead and be generous. Give them what they want and avoid all of this nonsense with the butting of heads that has to happen. After all, most of the times when you look at people going to court, the relationship is utterly destroyed afterward. There is nothing good. Both parties are hurt. And in fact, what's really sort of our first defense when we hear that, you know, we have to go to court, or when we hear something of this, is how can I countersue? All right, how can I get back at them? If they're trying to sue me, how do I get back at them? How do I sort of stick it to them? Jesus says, no. Nobody wins in that situation. Be more generous. Be ready to forgive. Don't be like the rest of the world. After all, Jesus has been generous towards you. You see, when Jesus is hanging dead, bloody on the cross and dying for your sins, what are the soldiers doing? They're casting lots. They're literally gambling, not for his tunic and his cloak, but for all of his clothing, right? And the cloak was especially mentioned because it was woven together in one piece, beautiful cloak. But contrary to many, many crucifixes we see, even our own sitting here on the altar, Jesus wasn't wearing a loincloth. He was naked and embarrassed for the whole world to see. But he did it willingly. He did it for you. For all of those times that you were so concerned about being right rather than coming back together and restoring your relationship. And for that, you are forgiven. That's the generosity of Jesus. Again, Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. For this, we really have to get some of the cultural context. See, in Jesus' day, any Roman soldier could go up to a citizen and say, hey, look, I'm going to enlist you to carry my bags for me. The soldiers had to be ready to fight at a moment's notice, and so no use exhausting the soldiers as they carry their own baggage. And so what is, sort of the first thing that you would do as a citizen if a soldier asked you to do this? And it was perfectly legal. Oh, great. You know how long it takes to walk a mile? Especially when you're carrying all the baggage from a soldier? This is going to be a few hours out of your day to walk a mile out of your way and then walk a mile back to get back to the rest of your day. This is taking a huge chunk of time. Think about it. If somebody asks, hey, can you drive me to Springfield? Well, you have to drive them all the way to Springfield, then come all the way back just to get back to your day. The first thing we might do is groan. Oh, gosh. Heaven forbid I have to help you out. Sometimes we get this with the church too. Heaven forbid I have to volunteer at the church again. Jesus says, don't resist, but go the extra mile, quite literally. Why? Without moaning and groaning, because Jesus wants his disciples to be different. He wants his people to not be like the rest of the world, but to do it with a joyful heart, to do it willingly. Jesus isn't suggesting that somehow it's okay to be taken advantage of. In fact, we ought not to take advantage of our neighbor, but when you have serious need or when your neighbor has serious need, ask for help. And if your neighbor comes to you, don't moan and groan and try to squirm out of it or create some sort of excuse so you don't have to help. Jesus wants his people to be different. After all, Jesus has been generous toward you. At the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, he walks into the Jordan River with John the Baptist, and he is baptized. And in that moment, his sins aren't forgiven because he has no sin, but all of the sins of the world are absorbed into him through that water. He sanctifies all waters to be a blessed flood, just as we heard in our baptism rite this morning. And when Jesus picked up all of this sin in the water, he carried it with him all his life, not just the baggage of a soldier, but all of your sin baggage. In fact, the sin baggage of the entire world. And where did he take it? To the cross. It's the very same gift he gave to Cam today. Cam's sins are no longer with him. He no longer carries that burden, and neither do you. For Jesus carries that burden. And you know what? He didn't moan. And Jesus didn't groan, and he didn't try to squirm out of trying to help you. He did it willingly, that you might know your sins are forgiven. That's the generosity of Jesus. And finally, in our last little example here, Jesus again uses hyperbole. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. How many of you have seen a homeless person begging for whatever they're begging for, money, food, whatever it is? The truth is that so often we look at these people and our first reaction is to say, druggie, alcoholic. We know those are the effects of what happens in a sinful world. It's no secret to us. But the truth is that if they are an alcoholic, if they are addicted to drugs, shouldn't we have compassion on those people? Realize that they need help. Maybe not monetary help, but they need help in some way, shape, or form. Heaven forbid it's actually an honest person who's just sort of down and out because of the circumstances of this life. And they, too, need help. They need our compassion. Now, Jesus isn't suggesting that we empty our wallet to them, but there are certainly ways in which we can help these sorts of people. There are homeless shelters, we could volunteer our time. You know, there are ways in which we can assist them without giving them money. But the truth is that Jesus doesn't want you to do what the rest of the world does and say immediately that they are some sort of evil person who deserves no help whatsoever, which is often our first gut reaction. He wants you, his people, to act differently, to be generous, to be forgiving, to ready to give them the benefit of the doubt. After all, hasn't Jesus been generous toward you? As Christians, we trust in the Lord. As Christians, we recognize the magnitude of our sins, and we come as beggars to God. We can do nothing for our own salvation. We are born in sin, and so what do? We simply lift up our hand, and we come to God and say, Lord, we have nothing. Fill us. And God does. He fills you with forgiveness, life, and salvation that pour from the cross and come out of the empty tomb. In the promises of the Word, in the promises of baptism, in the promises of the Lord's Supper, you are forgiven time and time again. Even forgiven for those times that you failed to show compassion to the homeless and the needy. Because the truth is that that is the generosity of Jesus. My friends, the Lord desires you to be merciful and compassionate with your neighbor, to be generous and forgiving. He desires for your generosity to flow from His generosity. For Jesus has been so generous towards you. And it's in the life of Jesus, in His death, in His resurrection, that He has given you everything. Your life, your salvation, your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your generosity in Christ Jesus our Lord.